May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good, we're awake. Some of you have heard I took a risk at the 8 o'clock service this morning. I'm going to try it one more time, crossing my fingers. Are you ready? Close your eyes. Do not fall asleep. Close your eyes. Imagine a sumptuous meal spread out on a table in front of you. It is a bit risky before lunchtime, isn't it? Your favorite foods, picture them, perfectly prepared. You dig in. Now picture what your plate looks like when you're about halfway through. Notice every little detail about what's left on your plate. Are you looking forward to finishing off this feast? I say, are you looking forward to finishing off this feast? Yeah. But before you do, I want you to picture that exact same plate with that exact same food halfway through your meal. Only now, instead of being on the dinner table, it's sitting in the bottom of your kitchen sink next to a pile of other dishes waiting to be washed. Is it still a sumptuous feast? Has it just become dirty dishes? Is the food still appetizing? Or is it now garbage? All right, open your eyes. You're not going to get to keep your eyes closed through the whole sermon. In 1966, an anthropologist and cultural theorist named Mary Douglas published a book called Purity and Danger, An Analysis of Concepts in Pollution and Taboo. That in itself is a mouthful. In it, she analyzed what different cultures consider to be clean and unclean. One of the more famous ideas from her book is that dirt is simply matter that is out of place. A table is a place where food is to be eaten. A plate that's full of half-eaten food is right at home on the dinner table. Everything is as it should be. It's just waiting for you to tuck in and finish off your meal. A sink in a kitchen is a place where plates are meant to be made clean, where you're supposed to get all the leftover food off of them to make them ready for storage or the next meal. In such a place, what had been food just a few moments ago becomes dirt, something that must be removed from the plate in order for the plate to be clean. It's always been amazing to me how fast that can happen. If I'm holding the plate in my hand, I can still nibble off of it. But the instant I sit it here in the sink, it's done. Now, if all of this just seems like an academic exercise, maybe, maybe not interesting to think about, but unrelated to real life, I ask you to consider this. Go back to the images that you just had in your head. How did you feel? What was your emotional response when you pictured that plate of delicious food sitting on the table in front of you? Compare that to your emotional response. How did you feel when you pictured that same food on a plate that's stacked sideways in a sink full of dishes that need washing? Same feeling? It's not just mental, is it? Well, let's make it even less academic and more real world. Consider the passage from the letter of James that we heard just a few minutes ago. How do we feel when we see somebody come into the church wearing his or her proper Sunday best? How do we feel, on the other hand, when we see somebody come into our church wearing torn jeans, a ratty t-shirt, a jacket that's maybe fraying at the seams, and God help us, possibly even stained with something? Even if we manage to override those initial emotional gut-level reactions, Even if we manage to remind ourselves to seek and serve Christ in all persons, no matter what they look like, all too often we still have those immediate gut-level reactions first, before we catch ourselves. And I think there's a connection between those gut reactions and Mary Douglas's research into dirt and cleanliness. We have a gut reaction to encountering something that we think, that we believe, is out of place. We see something as dirty because we see it where it doesn't belong. It's out of its proper place. Now, this is not necessarily an evil thing. It's a human thing. We sort things like this all the time, every day, mostly without even thinking about it. Papers are not trash when they're covering the desk in my office, no matter how high some of you have seen that stack to be. If I crumple them up and toss them onto the floor, clearly now they're trash. On those rare occasions when I might make it out to the gym, I'm not thinking while I'm on the treadmill how dirty my shirt is because I'm working up a little bit of a sweat. But as soon as I get home, those clothes are dirty and need to be changed. Dirt itself isn't even dirt out in the garden. It's soil. It becomes dirt when it gets tramped into your clean floor in your house thanks to a pair of work boots. We devote so much of our lives to sorting things into their proper places. Maybe it's not surprising then that we sometimes fall into the habit of doing the same thing with people. We try to sort people into their proper places. To borrow again from James, "Have a seat here," we say to the finely dressed. "Stand there or sit at my feet." Or to put it in modern language, "Why don't you take the seat in the far back corner?" we say to the one in dirty rags. And it's not just clothes or outward appearances. "You're welcome here," we say to the ones who share our opinions and who think like we do. "Stay over there," we say to the ones who don't. I know those gut feelings. I'm guilty of them. I have to fight them all the time. Having those reactions is part of being human. Overcoming those reactions, putting those knee-jerk reactions to people in their proper place, that's part of a faithful, faith-filled life. We get a glimpse of this dynamic working itself out, this very struggle, in our gospel passage this morning. A Gentile woman begs Jesus to cast a demon out of her daughter. Jesus' first response, his gut reaction to this woman, is to say, "Let the children be fed first. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." It is impossible to mistake Jesus' meaning here. The children are the children of Israel, the Jews, the chosen of God, Jesus' own people. And yes, despite the vast amount of ink that theologians have spilled over the years to dance in various circles around this difficult passage, it's also pretty clear that with this remark, Jesus is suggesting that non-Jews, that Gentiles like this woman who's begging him to save her daughter, are by comparison dogs. Perhaps not quite as fully human as the children of Israel. Now, rather than take offense, though, at this offensive remark, the woman chooses to accept Jesus' terms, even if that means debasing herself. "Sir," she says, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." When he hears her reply, remarkably, Jesus changes course. He reverses his initial reaction and immediately saves the woman's daughter. At first, Jesus dismisses the Syrophoenician woman as if he cannot even hear her request. He sorts her into her place as a Gentile woman. Her place is not with the children, but rather with the dogs. But she replies that even if her proper place is with the dogs and not with the chosen people, she, as a dog, still gets the children's table scraps. And that answer turns the whole notion of proper place on its head. All too often, when we do this kind of sorting of people into their so-called proper places, we do so in order to exclude certain people from our own groups, our own communities, our own notions of who our people are. And this is what Jesus appears to be doing when he first dismisses this woman out of hand. With her reply, she demonstrates that even the lowly, insulting place of a dog is grounds for inclusion at the table, not exclusion from it. It's pretty remarkable. I'll tell you a secret. The truth is, when it comes to sorting people, there's only one proper place. That's with us. Inclusion. Together at the table. That's our proper place in relation to each other and in relation with God. I think that's what the Syrophoenician woman reminded Jesus. And I like to imagine Jesus as being both surprised and delighted by that reminder. Now, here it might be worth noting in closing that the healing story which immediately follows this encounter with the Syrophoenician woman in today's gospel passage, in that second story, the command that Jesus gives to the man who can neither hear nor speak is, "Be opened." Be opened. Good advice.